So, in Parshas Noach, we have something very beautiful here from the Mori Naim. His yard sale will be next week. And he brings down that he's speaking about the Tzadikim, Noach is the Ish Tzadik, but the Reisav, and he seems to compare Noach to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Chazal say, the Gemara says in Shabbos Peches, that when Yidden said Nasa v'Nishma, Koshulam Shnei Ksara, the Malach Yisharis came down and tied two crowns in every Yid, one for Nasa and one for Nishma. And when they did the Chet Egel, the Malachim took away the crowns. And the Gemara says, the Tana Kulon Zachem Moshe v'Natlan. Moshe Rabbeinu got all these crowns. So, it says in Kisvi Arizal, in Kriya Yitzchayim, Mishar Kavonis, Bin Yemiz Mishil Yom HaShabbos, on the words Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelkoi, Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelkoi, and Shabbos saying Davin, Moshe rejoices with the gift of his Chelek, means then Shabbos, Moshe is happy with his own crowns. He doesn't have to have the crowns that he expropriated from Klal Yisrael. On Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu gives back the crowns. And that's the side of the Neshama Yisera. Shein the rights of Bishel Acherim. So, the reason has a Shachas here, says the Hele Gemara Naim, because beside that Gilgal, Moshe is Noach, and the Dor Midbar is the Dor Mabel, and then a tick in the Mitzrayim, as Avi state, and Sefer HaGulgulim. In other words, really, the Torah should have been given in the time of Noach. And there should have been a Mabel, a flood, a tsunami of wisdom and das in the time of Noach. But the people weren't interested in that. They didn't say Nasa v'Nishma. They couldn't care less about knowledge of Torah. So therefore, it waited until Moshe's time. So instead of getting a marble of wisdom, they got a marble of water. And the marble of water wiped them out. So Moshe is Noach, and the Dor Midbar is the Dor Marble. But they did it the right way. They got their marble of wisdom. And that's right in the Gemara. The Gemara says, by Matan Torah, by Kriyas Yamsuf, you know, by Matan Torah too, the Gemara thought maybe there's a new marble coming. There was such a noise, and such a rash, and such a tumult, they were afraid there'd be a new marble, but it wasn't a new marble. But the little nakuda I just want to spend a moment on is this beautiful idea that neshami yaseira on Shabbos means that a person becomes sameach v'chelkoi. You're not really into Shabbos if you're not happy with what you have. Shabbos, even Moshe Rabbeinu, even spiritually, Moshe Rabbeinu got the crowns from every yid. On Shabbos, he gives it back. Yismach Moshe, Matnas Chelko, because I have Neshama Yisera on Shabbos. I have everything. I don't want anything from anybody else. As a matter of fact, it's not shaykh to have somebody else's. How can I be happy with somebody else's? It's not mine. There's no shaykhs to me. The biggest gift in life is to be me. Myself. 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 That's all I need. If a person finds himself looking for anything in the world outside of himself, it's a simile, he doesn't know himself. If a person will be in touch with themselves and their neshama, that's fulfillment. That's completeness. I would be one with Hashem. I'd be tamim tiyam Hashem alakecha. I would have no desire for anything outside of myself. I wouldn't be jealous of anybody, looking at anybody. We're all looking, comparing, envying, jealousy. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelko, is the uptight of Shabbos and of the ultimate of mankind. It's an awesome word. So this word is a little bit elaborated on in the Mori Naim elsewhere, and he speaks about it in here in the second Chelek on Daf Tov Samach Zion, and in Lakutim in the second Chelek. And he says a little bit deeper that the two crowns that the Yidden got when they said Nasa and Ishma were Ava V'Yira. Nasa and Ishma is Ava V'Yira. It seems to me that Nasa is Ava, will do positive things. Ava is positive acts of love towards God. And Nishma is Yira, I will listen to God and I will discipline myself in fear of God. When a person has Ava V'Yira, then he has Shleimus. If you only have Ava, you're not Shalim. If you only have Yira, you're not Shalim. When you have both, you have Shleimus. And that's the pshat that on Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu gave him back because he had the full Ava V'Yira. And therefore he could give it back everyone else their Ava V'Yira. And that's called Neshama Yaseira. Neshama Yaseira doesn't mean Yaseira, it means you're full Neshama. Because the whole week we only have a fraction of what we are. In the week, we're living a fraction of who we really are. On Shabbos, we become our full selves. And that's other Mishan Kodem Achet. That's other Mishan Kodem Achet. And that's the Brach of Shabbos.
Moshe Rabbeinu alone got everybody?
No, only Moshe. Moshe got everything. What it means is, that Moshe got other people, I can't explain to you, but I can only tell you what he didn't have on Shabbos. On Shabbos, he had no need for anything outside himself. The gift of Neshama Yaseira is, I know who I am. When a man knows who he really is, then life is bliss. Our problem is, because the whole day and the whole night, we don't know who we are. I need more money, because I think that the money, you know, people, their definition of who they are, the first definition is, most people define themselves by what I own. I am what I own. My bank account, my portfolio defines me, my house defines me, my business defines me. This is what defines me. My profession and my earning power, what I own, that's the definition of me. That's by most people, whether you like it or not, but that's what it is. The second definition of who I am by most people is, I am what I accomplished in life. Even if I don't own very much, but I've accomplished great things. I was a president, and I was a president of the shul. I wrote a book, I gave great speeches, and I built the company. And even if today I don't own the company anymore, I'm a pauper, but I'm still proud of the fact that I built the company. I lost the money, but I built it. I climbed Mount Everest. I'm old and weak right now, but I climb Mount Everest. So the second definition of who I am is what I accomplish in life. Never forget, there's this old couple that they just never stopped talking about the fact. They're nice people, but never stopped their whole life discussing the fact they once built a day school 50 years ago. They put some effort into building a day school in a certain place. That's all they talked about. That's how it was. I helped build this day school, which was a very nice thing. But that's not who you are. The third definition of who I am is my reputation. I am what people think of me. If people think good of me, I'm proud of myself. If not, I'm not proud of myself. That's the third way of people defining who they are. I am what I own. I am what I've accomplished. I am my reputation. And really, all of those three definitions are false. That's not who you are. I am what I am. I am my neshama. I am a unique creation. Hashem never created anything like me. I'm not what I own. Makes no difference what I own. I'm not what I've done out there. And I'm not what people think of me. It doesn't make a difference. I am. I am I. And that's very foreign to most people to define themselves. I am me. And I'm very happy with me because that's how God made me. And that is who I am. I am who I am. Zehu. And all tzaras is because I'm not happy with what I am. It doesn't mean anything to me who I am. I have to accomplish something. I have to be a workaholic, or I have to have a title, or I have to own a lot of money to make myself feel good about myself. When I lose money, it's not time I lose money. I feel bad because money is my definition, and I feel personally minimized by the loss of money because I define myself by how much I possess. when I lose money, I became less. Not my money, not my bank account became less. I became less. I became diminished. A healthy person, and I don't know too many of those, is just happy. I am what I am, what Hashem created me. And I don't have to do anything. That self is a gevalt gezach. I'm Yitzir Kapo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. I'm a creation of God, and I'm very unique. And there's no one like me, and Hashem loves me. So I love myself because Hashem loves me. And that's it. Zeu. On Shabbos, Moshe himself came to that Madrega. And that's really what Amunah means. Amunah means I believe in myself. I once gave a lecture called I Believe That God Believes in Me. I believe that God believes in me. If I don't believe that God believes in me like I am, then I don't have Amunah. So I'm not happy with myself, and I have to earn some more money to make myself feel good. I better have another degree to feel good. Or I better accomplish something to have good. I better have some more children to feel good. I better give another speech to feel good, or build a yeshiva or something. Then I am far from my real self. Shabbos, Neshamiyah, so we have Avet, but so how do you get there? You have to have Avet Hashem, Yerushamayim. Avet Hashem means I love Hashem for making me who I am, because I love myself, because He loves it. And Yerushamayim, I'm afraid to tamper with it. I don't want to mess it up. I'm afraid to go against the Ratzon Hashem and make myself something other than that and be in rebellion to Hashem, because that would mean that I am not living according to His Ratzon. So that is really the theme of this week's Parsha. That this week's Parsha, that's what Noach is all about. That shmooze unto itself. But this is what the Ma'ori Naim says. So that's what the Shami Yisera means. The Shami Yisera again on Shabbos. On Shabbos we can experience more Avivira. On Shabbos Moshe Rabbeinu had more Avivira. Therefore he didn't need the crowns of Klal Yisrael. He gave them back. And was Yismach Moshe Matnas Chel Koy. He was happy with his own chelik. One piece. Second piece of the Ma'ori Naim. He speaks about the Lashonis. This week's parasha we have the Tower of Babel. We have the languages getting all mixed up. So he says the Yisai, which I've told you many times, the Shalosh says it, the Malbim, many, that all the seven languages are corruptions of Lashon HaKodesh. But the truth of the matter is that every one of the seven languages, there still exists to this very day residual words from Lashon HaKodesh Mamash. And there are pure Lashon HaKodesh words in every language today. And that's the meaning of Rabbi Kiva said, Totafos, Tfilin, two in China means, Tat means two, Pat in Africa means two, two and two is four, and that's what the word Totafos means. So it doesn't mean that the Torah has Chinese and African words in it, Faker. It means that Chinese and African have Hebrew words in it. That's what Rabbi Kiva said. That I discovered these lost Hebrew words in Chinese and African. Tat and pot. And the only and what's not the reason why the Rabbanim Shlom allowed these purely Hebrew words to get lost in these languages? He said, because otherwise these languages and these countries could not exist. Because without a kesher to Torah, nothing exists. So Hashem made it that when Lashon HaKodesh was corrupted by the 70 languages, there had to be some residue of Mamash Lashon HaKodesh, which is their kesher to Torah, because otherwise there would be no kiyum. And he says that's pshat next week's parsha, which begins with Avram left Aram and went to Eretz Yisrael, Canaan, and he says that's anefesh asher asu b'choron, and the targum is that's anefesh asher shabidu l'raisa, the souls that Avram enslaved, indentured to the Torah. So the Ma'ori Naim types it means that the souls that Avram brought close to Torah were representatives of all the 70 languages, and he showed them how in their culture, in their language, there's a residual of Lashon HaKodesh, and that's how he drew them, attracted them to Torah, because he showed them their kesher, the Torah, through these lost words in their languages. So he showed all the Chinese Tat the Katvi Shtayim in cafe, China, ancient China. Two, Tat is two? Wow. So the people that, wow, I mean, we have a Shaychas to Kedusha? Yeah. In your language, you have a Shaychas to Kedusha. It's interesting to me now, just as I'm thinking out loud. I just to hear a little better why Dafka, he discovered Tat is two in Chinese, and Pat is two in African. But by Goyim, there is no one God. It's always two. Us is one. Although, there's another Gemara in Shabbos that says, Hein Yiras Hashem Yichachma. And the Gemara says, what does Hein mean? The Gemara says, Hein means one in Greek. So in Greek there was a word for one. Maybe that's the reason why Greek is the only language you can translate Sefer Torah into. Because Greek has closer to Lashon HaKodesh to other languages, because you have a word in Greek that means one. But in Chinese and African, which are at the ends of the world, the words we have from the Torah are pat and pat, which are two. There's no achdus Hashem. Greek taka, just sound the Gemara Shabbos, said that in Greek you have two in Greek. You have one in Greek. Hein, yiras Hashem yichachma, shekein, I believe, Lashon Yevani, you have hein as one. At any rate, this is what it means. Avram Avinu and Yitzchak and Yankov discovered these words. And he was Mavar. They were Mavar, all the lost Kedusha that was found amongst the Goyim. That was the Avod of the Avos. The Avos were making up what was lost at the time of the Dor HaMabul. They tried to rediscover as best they could. And that's why it says in Dvarim, in Memal, in Dvarim, Chav Zayin Ches, it says that they wrote the Torah Bar Hetev B'Shivim Lashon. The Torah is written with a perfect, they wrote in the 70 languages. It means to say, because you can't possibly express the whole Torah properly in Hebrew alone, because there are words that are truly Hebrew that are not there in Hebrew today, like Tat and Pat. So you have to have all 70 languages of the world to have Lashon Kodesh. You won't have the full vocabulary of Lashon Kodesh unless you know all 7 languages, because there are authentic Lashon HaKadosh words that have dropped out of everyday usage in Lashon HaKadosh, and they're only found in these other places. And by learning in 70 languages, you bring the Torah back to its Shirish. That's the second statement of the Morinayim. And the third statement I want to share with you, this is Parsha. He says, the whole avoid of a tzaddik is to be the avoid of a tzaddik is God al shemay shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A tzaddik has only one desire in life, not to eat breakfast, not to make money in the day. When he gets up in the morning, Gedalia, tzaddik has only one kavana, not breakfast, not to read the paper, not to make some money, not to have nachas in his children, no, not even to learn daf yomi. Tzaddik has one obsession, and that is to increase the kvod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to increase God's name, that the world should be more aware of Hashem. How much awareness is there of God in the world? Very little. What the whole world thinks about God? The average person in the world gets up and reads the paper and watches Good Morning America, and who thinks about God? And how many Jews think about God? And even from Jews, are they really thinking about Hashem? Think about other things. Think about taivas that are glatt kosher. So the yisod of a tzaddik is to look for ways to magnify the world's awareness of God, and God is everything. And that's what it says in Noach, Vayoyled Noach, Shloisha Bonim, Shem V'chomis Yofes. That means to say that Noach, don't think for a second that Noach defined himself by the children. When you get older, you define yourself not by your money, not by your accomplishments, not by your reputation, you define yourself by your children. All you want is nachas from the children. Now you're still into yourself. The kids, maybe yes, no. When you get older, and you lose your ambition for yourself, everything you live vicariously through your children. That's what happens. But Noach, no, he didn't live vicariously through his children. He called one son Shane, which means that he wanted to make Hashem's name great. Shem was his best son. It wasn't his first son. Yefes was the first son, the oldest. But shame is number one, because shame is the name of the son that Yonah said, I want God's shame to be great. He's shame Hashem Mevorech. Chom, because Chom is 48 in Gematria. Ches Mem is Mem Ches. That's connected to 48 Nevi'im that are mentioned in Tanakh. The 48 Nevi'im. And they come from the 48 drops of wisdom that come from Gan Eden every day. You know that. The Zohar says, we'll discuss it more another time, that every day, over the 24 hours of the day, twice an hour, drops of wisdom come from Gan Eden and fall into your head. So if you're wondering how you got so smart suddenly, where does a good idea come to your head? Did something smart today? Did something intelligent? You're here at the shir, that's very intelligent. How'd you get so smart to come to the shir? Only the very smart people come here. Because the drop of wisdom from Gan Eden fell in your head. That's why the head's called Moyach. Moyach is 48. So Chum is actually the opposite. He distorted Moyach. In other words, Chum represents that Noyach told the world, Moyach, I want you to know about the 48 drops of wisdom coming from Gan Eden all the time. Listen to them. Use them. Let them water your mind and bring good things out of your mind. So that's Chum. And that has to do with Mashiach. Because Mashiach is, the letters Mashiach can be transposed to read Yesh Memches. Yesh Memches. Or Shai Memches, the gift of Memches. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Nieh Bezvaro. So Mashiach is Shai Moyach. And if Chum hadn't distorted himself, he could have been a Navi also. And the third one is Yefes, which is Lashon beauty. And Yefes also means Yaft Lekim Yefes. The Targum of Yaft is to spread out. To spread out. Yefes is Yarchiv, to spread out. Because Noach wanted to be Marchiv the Gevulus HaKadusha. The Yisrael of the Tzadik is that they don't want God to just be in Shul. The Tzadik wants to bring God into the workplace. Tzadik wants to bring God into Wall Street. Wants to bring it into investment bankers. Wants to bring it in dental offices. Wants to bring God into the garbage cleaners. Hashem wants to bring God into the clothing stores. Wants to bring him into the oil wells. Into the gas wells. Prices are going down dramatically. I got gas yesterday in New Jersey. $1.97. Gallon. Unbelievable. What's going to be? But you got to bring God into the gas pumps. You got to pump God, not gas. That's the tachlis. Pump God, don't pump gas. I want to see some stations. I want to see God stations. God is standing gas on demand. But it also stands for God. You have a new chain of gas stations. God. Gas on demand. Gas over a dollar. Gas on the dollar, $1, guaranteed. With what? The kids are, so Yefes means you are Marchiv the Gevulus HaKadusha. Hashem is everywhere. He's in Walmart. He's in Wall Street. He's every place there, Baruch Shalom. That's why he named these three names. That was Noach's Tachlis. That was his Tachlis. Okay. So much for the Mori Naim, finding a Parsha. Of course he says much more, but we'll leave it at that. And now we turn to the Kedusha's Lady. And the Kedusha's Lady says some wonderful things in the Parsha. What does he say? He says as follows. Love the Heilig and Kedusha's Lady. So in Parsha's Noach, he says, how could it be that a tzaddik has a taiva for gashmias? There's tzaddikim have a taiva for money. I like money. Money's the root of all evil. I'm rooting for it. I'm there rooting for money. So I like money. I know a lot of tzaddikim like money. As a matter of fact, most tzaddikim like money. Rosh Hashivas love money. They're always collecting money. They love money. It's a good thing to love money. How could it be that a tzaddik, a yeshiva, a rebbe, could love money? Did you ever see a rabbi loves money? Are you shocked? Have you noticed this? Some of this money love by holy rabbis? Isn't it shocking? No? And they love other things too. They have other tithes. They like to eat also. Like to sleep. All kinds of stuff. How could it be? Now we're talking over here that the mamash taiva. So he says the aside is because a real tzaddik is not a tzaddik in pelts. Not a tzaddik wraps himself up in a fur coat. The real tzaddik goes out to the people. He rubs shoulders with the proletariat, with the common folk, with the lowest strata. So I was telling me today he was offered a job as a rav someplace in Muncie. The guy who interviews him comes wearing short pants, holding his dog, stroking his dog in his hand, like, you know, with a radio set here. That's what this guy interviews, this nice, fine rav. He's interviewed by a guy holding a dog, patting his pet dog, wearing shorts, munching popcorn, and listening to some rock and roll music on through his headphones. This is his constituency. He asked me what I thought about taking such a shtel. I said, go for it! It's gewaltic! This is what you gotta do. A tzaddik always wants to make out of the lowlifes. That's his job. But the price he pays is that the tzaddik has to absorb their tithes. Because when you get close to them, it rubs off on the tzaddik taka. Before the tzaddik can rub off on the people rub off on the tzaddik. That's the problem. And the tzaddik has to understand the people, so to speak. And he's mamish somehow lives on their level. I told the fellow, the only danger you have of moving such a crowd is for your children. You're a tzaddik. You're going to be mashpi on them. Your wife's going to mashpi on them. Your children's a problem. What kind of kids are going to be dealing with? What kind of chevra? But there too, there's a special bracha that when I move to Miami Beach, if you don't give me a bracha, my kids will be fine. Baron gave Rabbi Yaffe when he moved to Kansas City a bracha, his kids will be fine. What? Shmuel Kamenetsky in Philadelphia. So you don't worry about your children. The tzaddik takes the tivus and the gaivus and all the bad stuff that the lowlifes rub into the tzaddik, and that's his avoida. It's elevated. That's all. The whole Yosef Chassidus is that when you see something low, you're supposed to elevate it. And that was the Mori Naim in last week's parasha. He said, I told you last week, the Mori Naim said by Yosef. When Yosef, it says, when he's about to sin with Eshet Potiphar, he saw the picture of Yaakov Avinu in the window. He said, oh, can't sin. My father Yaakov is telling me, if I sin, I'll lose it all. So Yaakov actually appeared to Yosef? No. He says, that was the goddess of Yosef. Yosef saw the beauty of Eshet Potiphar. And she was beautiful and seductive and tempting and tantalizing. But Yosef, what does he do? He says, she's gorgeous. But you know what? I know something more gorgeous. My tata. The most beautiful thing I ever saw is my tata, Yankov. He's a real tzaddik. He shines. He radiates. I want to be like him. You know what? From her beauty, I extrapolate. I want beauty. But I want better beauty than her. Her beauty just reminds me that I want a beauty in my life. But not her beauty. That's too low level. I want to go to a high level of beauty. And I'm going to be like my father, Yankov. And if I give in to her beauty, I'll never be like Yankov. I'll be eradicated from the shift they caught. So that's where I saw Yaakov. He understood exactly what every tzaddik knows, that anytime we have a base desire, the base desire is merely a wake-up call to desire a similar desire, but on a higher level. And that's what Yishai is all about. And we're plagued day and night. Day and night we see pretty things, beautiful things, tempting things, so to take it to a higher level. That's the side of Chassidus. So he says, this is why Noach, this is the avoid of Noach. Elo told us Noach, Ish tzaddik hoya tam b'dereisav, that he had to live in his door, he had to be on that level, and bring the, and that was Noach's avoid. He didn't do it enough. Noach did not do it enough. That's why Noach is criticized. He didn't have enough, he didn't do enough for his generation. He was a little bit aloof, a little bit to himself. He was afraid of the people. What he should have done that's why there's a famous medrash that says that Noach was originally started Ish Tzaddik Tamim Hayav Adarisav. He ends up V'Yachal Noach Ish Adama. He starts off as being called Ish Tzaddik, and he ends up in the parasha called a man of the earth, a lowlife, a peon, Namaretz. But in Moshe it says his original person is called Ish Mitzri. Ish Mitzri Tzilanu. And the end, it says that Moshe was called Ish Elokim. And that was the Chiluk. The Meshech Chacham explains. He says, Noach, the reason why he was corrupted was because the reason why he lost himself, because he wanted to save himself, only. The most dangerous thing in life is to protect yourself from other people. If you're worried about being defiled by other people and corrupted, of course, I mean, you can't go, not telling you to go to the movies with people. It means to say, don't be afraid of Minkar of anybody. Don't be afraid of people that are much lower, and they're more coarse, and they're not refined, and they're profane. How can Minkar of them? No, don't worry about it. Noach, Taka, was only interested in himself. So originally it's called Ish Tzadik, but in the end he became Ish Adama. Because he was only interested in elevating himself, and in the end he fell. He became a man of the earth. But Moshe, who gave his life at Klal Yisrael, he started off by calling Ish Mitzri, an Egyptian, and he ends off Ish Elokim. Now, he has one more statement over here, very interesting. This is very interesting. It says in the Heimlich Parsha, by the Teva, it says, Hashem says to him, Kach lecha mikol ha-ma'udek that will be eaten. What does that mean? He says, L'chaira, it shouldn't have been called Michael. It should be called Kacham Mikola Oicha Asher Yachel. You hear the question? The question of the Kedush Levi is, how come we call food Michael? It should be called Oichel. Kacham Mikola Oicha Asher Yachel. What's Michael? So he says, Michael is really a fruit primarily you're feeding to other people. A Michael is food you're being ma'achil to other people. Like it says in the Medrash, by Adam Rishon, Adam says, "Va'isha asher nasati madi, he nasli min eitz va'ochal, ochalti no nemar ela va'ochal." That's what the Medrash says. Here it says in the pasuk, "Isha asher nasati madi, he nasli min eitz va'ochal." L'char Adam should have said, "Va'ochalti, I ate," in past tense. What's va'ochal? Right? The Medrash asked the question. What's talking the answer? So he says, you should know, this is important to know, that every time we eat, we have only one reason to eat. You think you're eating because you're hungry. You think you're eating because you're a food addict, because you just like to eat. Even if you're not hungry, give yourself pleasure. But the real reason to eat, says the Sforum, is to masakin the pagam of other Rishon who ate improperly. Adam talking the Shem Taiva. Adam ate for his own purposes, not to serve the Rabbanu Shlom. That was the original sin. The original sin was eating improperly. And therefore, forever and ever, for the last 5,767 years, the Tachlis of Bria is for us to eat, to misaken the eating of other Rishon, which was improper. That's the Tachlis of eating. You knew that, did I? Next time you go to the refrigerator, put a sign in the refrigerator. I'm eating to misaken the chayt of other Rishon. Your kids have a lot of respect for you. Your wife too. Tell them to make a sign. Hindi Mukhim Azuman Lechoil, Kidei, Lesaken, Achila, Pesula, Shaladam Rishon. You hear? So he says that especially if you eat without, not for the sake of taiva, if you eat the same mitzvah, so if you make a brach on the food, it's a big tikkun. If you shecht meat, it's a big tikkun. So that's the pshat. Other people just said, Isha Shanasati Madi, nothing in eight. Va'ochel, he doesn't say achalti. Va'ochel means, I'll be eating for the rest of my life to have a ticket for when I was pagan. And my children and children's children and all my descendants will be eating and eating and eating for the next 5,600 years to make up for the chait that he ate from the food that she gave me. Va'isha Shanasati Madi, nothing in eight. I didn't say va'ochalti ate in the past. He's talking about the future. Va'ochel, I'll be eating in the future forever and ever. To have a tikkun for that. Here, a pshat. Gevaldig pshat. So all achila, and that's why all achila is called ma'achil, Michael. Because I'm not eating what I'm eating, I'm eating what other Rishon is feeding me. Other Rishon fed his progeny forever. He said, here, there's food for you. Make it up for the chay. It's called a Michael. Adam was ma'achilos. Meredig pshat. Adam was ma'achilos. Let's see the pasuk over here. Pasuk goes, Adam says, Adam says, he says, Aisha Shnasati Madi, he knows the Aids Va Oichel. Not Va Chalti, but Oichel in the future. That's where everything's called a Michael. Azoizak, the Hail the Gemara name. Beautiful words. That, and not the Gemara name, the Kedush's lady. What? No, there's not a tikkun. That's stuffing yourself. So you have to eat.
Every time you eat, there'll be a tikkun.
Oh, it's supposed to be a tikkun. You're supposed to try and make it a tikkun. If you don't...
So I'll eat it to be an eating.
If you'll eat L'shem Shemayim, and you'll say, I know it's mamish taiva food, but I can eat, I'm making just the Mevorach Hashem. If you're at such a level, that's fine. So it's tzaddik and fasted all week, only on Shabbos, L'shem Shemayim. Very difficult. Very difficult thing. The Morinayim says, there's one more thing here, I believe. Let's see. Not the Morinayim says, the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi. I have one more thing to share with you. That's what I did. I have one more thing to share with you. Let's see, where is it? No, it's not here. It's not here. It's not here. So, there's one last thing I want to share with you. Oh, in the Kutum of the Kedushas Levi, and we'll conclude with that, gentlemen, and send you on your way, so you can go back home and eat the Shem Shemayim, and sleep the Shem Shemayim. He says, it says, Soya Tasala Teva, it says you should make a window, make a bright gem for the Teva. And everybody, all the forums say the Teva here does not mean merely a boat. Teva means a word. You have to find the light in every word. You have to illuminate every word. Every word of the Torah has a light in it. But you can learn Torah and not find the light. Just read like simple black letters on white paper. Or you can learn Torah with a Vihiris, with a Lichtlichkeit. You have to bring out the light for every teva. So he says, there's two kinds of tzaddikim. There's some tzaddikim who the letters of the Torah guide them, are their manik, rule over them, and there are tzaddikim that rule over the letters of the Torah. Pamim ha'oisiyas matikin sa'adam. Sometimes the letters, they lead the man, and sometimes the man leads the letters. If a person learns Torah, he says it's two kinds of tzaddikim. A tzaddik who learns Torah with the Mesiris Nefesh, meaning to say, he learns Torah for one purpose. This is the Ratzon Hashem. I learn Torah because this is what Hashem wants. I want to bring Nachas Ruach to the Ribono Shel Olam, and I want to understand what Hashem wants from me. I'm learning, I'm giving my whole being into the letters, into the Torah. I don't own myself. I'm surrendering to the Torah. He learns, Messiah and everything, I surrender to the Torah. Not learning to show off. Not learning to give a shear, just dumb gaiva. Not learning to go make money on something. I'm learning for one purpose. I want to surrender to Hashem. And the only way to surrender by knowing Torah. Without Torah, I can't know, I don't know how to do it. I'm giving my life to these letters. Then that tzaddik, zaycha, the squeeze out of the letters, the light, and the tzoyer tas l'teva. However, if he just learns it, you learn the shame of your own pleasure. So then it's a selfish thing. So then the letters do not surrender their light to you. If a person surrenders himself to the letters and to Hashem, and he's mevat himself to the letters, then the letters surrender to him and the letters follow him around. But if a person is learning for his own personal pleasure, his own gain, for his covet, he likes to learn this, the geschmack, it's interesting, beats the New York Times crossword puzzle. I learned Gemara, I'm not just in crossword puzzles, and football I never understood anyway, and soccer is ridiculous. And what am I going to do with myself? I got to learn, I know, New York Times is boring, it's the same thing every day, and the stocks are depressing, not maybe yeah, maybe no, it depends, and the futures and the commodities could be depressing. So I learned Torah because it's interesting. And my wife, there, cares for me if I learn a little bit also, so it's worthwhile learning. that person will not squeeze the light out of Torah. You only squeeze light out of Torah if you learn, and he says that the tzaddik who learns in Shem, I told you many times, he has mamashlita over the letters. Like Yaakov, the letters of Yaakov, as opposed to being Yibaka. Yibaka means to smash through. Yaakov, if you learn the letters Yaakov, the Shem Shemayim, you become a spiritual bulldozer. You can change the world, really. And I told you the vort many times. Is a sitter there? A sitter. It says, in Tillim, we say it every Shabbos. So, we say it in Shukha Zimra, capital Lamed Gimel. We say, we say. Yeah, in Lama Gimel we say, Rana Tzadikim Hashem, it ends off, Hinei Ein Adonai Yali Reyav, Tamayachim L'chastai. The eye of God is to those who fear Him, those who yearn for His chesed, L'hatlam Yimavaz Navsham, L'chayayasim Barav, to save their souls from death and to revive them from starvation. What does that mean? So Shteyn Sforim. The tzaddik who learns Torah with Mesiris Nefesh and surrenders to the letters of the Torah and surrenders his eyes to the Torah, so God gives him the letter Ayin, which is eye, to use as he wishes. So Ein Adonai Reyav, God gives the Ayin, to those who fear him to save him from death and to save them from Rav. How do you do it? Because you take the Ayin and when you have Rav Moves, a lot of death, and you put the ayin, you take the ayin from Ra'av, sorry, you have Ra'av and Maves, starvation and death. The tzaddik takes the ayin out of Ra'av and makes it Rav, and he puts the ayin into Maves and makes it Ma'os, and he transforms Ra'av and Maves into Ma'os Rav, into a lot of money. Because the tzaddik owns the letter ayin, because he gave his eyes to Hashem. And surrendered his eyes to Hashem, and his life to Hashem. So, Lahatim Mavis Nashem, Hashem saves the tzaddik from Mavis, and he's mechayim from Rav. You know how? Because Ein Hashem Liraev, Hashem gave him the eye, and he took the ayin from Rav and put it into Mavis and made it into Mos, and Rav became Rav, Mos Rav, a lot of money. So, that's what it means. Soya Tasla Teva. If you want to make the Teva, the letter, the word, the Teva is the word of the Torah. If there's something lichtig in your life, you have to turn to the Mesiris Nefesh, then you can change Yaakov to Yibaka. You change the word Tzara into Tzohar. Tzara becomes Tzohar. And Tzara becomes Ritzei, Ratza. It's a Ratzan Hashem. If you do the Ratzan Hashem, and all you want to do is Ratzan Hashem, so you can change Tzara into Ratza, into Tzohar, into a lichtigkeit. This is what the Tzohar says. Okay, let's stop here, Rabbi Isai. Have a lichtig Shabbos. Zeige benched.